my old friend suggested that we do something in Hilchos Shabbos for 20 minutes, and then maybe do something about Hashkafa in Halacha. So I figured I would share with you something in the Halachos of Schita on Shabbos that relates to Halacha Lamaisa. I think is a very, very important, has many, many important hashlachos. In my opinion, is a fascinating sugya. So first of all, in regards to Schita, so the Gemara tells us, and the Mechaber quotes in Simin Shin Chaf and Sif Aleph, tells us that there's three different categories when it comes to Schita. There's Zeisin Va'anovim, that's Asar Min HaTorah. Zeisin Va'anovim Asar L'Sachdan, it's prohibited to be sochet them. The Mishnah Berurah points out, I'm going to be doing a lot of reading from the Mishnah Berurah, so if you have on your computers the Mishnah Berurah, Simin Shin Chaf, kedai to follow along. So the Mechaber says, Asar L'Sachdan, the Mishnah Berurah points out that Asar L'Sachdan means chayiv. In other words, that's Asar Min HaTorah. In contrast to, we have something called tusim virimonim, pomegranates and strawberries, that's asar midrabanan. This is based on a Mishnah in Perek HaChavis that differentiates in terms of halachos of mashkin shezavu, which we won't discuss today, that zeisim v'anavim are d'oraisa, tusim virimonim are d'rabanan, and shar peros is mutter. So before we discuss some of the details of the halachas of Schita, let's just first qualify what does that mean, halacha lemaisa, for us today, right? This is halacha chabura, right? What does it mean, halacha lemaisa, for us today? So what it means is as follows. According to most Rishonim, Zeisim v'anavim, there's nothing magical about Zeisim v'anavim. Zeisim v'anavim are not magical. That they're min haTorah, and the other things are midrabanan. Rather, Zeisim v'anavim, in those days, that was what was, the fruit was generally squeezed. So those fruits are generally squeezed, so when you squeeze that, then that's a real meleches machsheves, because that's the way in which one uses the zeisim va'anovim. And so therefore that's going to be nisir d'oraisa. But if you're using something that's not normally, or is not often, or not generally done in such a way, so then in such a case, then that already makes it an Isser Durabbanan. So that's when it comes to Tusim Virimonim. Tusim Virimonim are only going to be Durabbanan because it doesn't work in that manner. In contrast to when it comes to Sharperos weren't generally squeezed at all. So what would you say about Tropicana oranges? The oranges that grow in Florida, that are grown by Tropicana for the orange juice. Would that be Nisa D'Oraisa or Nisa D'Rabbanan? What do you say? Should be D'Oraisa. Right. According to this Mahalach, the Pashtus of the Sugya would be that it's Nisa D'Oraisa. There is a Prima Gadim, where the Prima Gadim has a magical pshat. The Prima Gadim has a brilliant pshat. The Moiri V'Rabbi, Rav Nevinzal Shlita likes. I'll say, I don't have much to add to the Gedolei Torah over here in the Yeshiva, New York, but the one thing I could bring to you is a little bit of Torah Yerushalayim. I can't add Goinus, but I have the schus that HaKadosh Baruch Hu dropped me down in Eretz Yisrael. And aside from my amazing Rabbeim that I had here, so I was zocha to be Mekabel a little bit from Rav Nevinzal. So Rav Nevinzal likes a Prima Gadim. I heard Rav Shechel uses Rav Nevinzal's Mishnah Berurah, but I couldn't find one in the Beis Medrash. So Rav Nevinzal likes the following Prima Gadim. The Prima Gadim holds that Zeisim V'anavim is unique. This is a brilliant Prima Gadim. Can anybody think about what would be unique about oil and wine? Yes. Okay. Yafeh. It might be Yafeh. The Prima Gadim says the Shivas is correct, but a different Shivas. It's part of the Shivas Mashkim, in terms of being Machshir L'Kabel Tumah. In other words, that the Torah gave Chashivas to this Mashke. So that's a Prima Gadim's brilliant pshat. He says, and he claims, Iran says it, that the Ran is of the opinion that it's part of the Shivas Mashkim, and since it's part of the Shivas Mashkim, then that's going to be in Isser Daraisa. So that makes Tropicana oranges a nafkamina, according to Prima Gadim's Shat. So then in such a case, Tropicana, even if it's a Derech, it's not going to be an Isser Daraisa. So Rav Nevet and Sal Shlita points out, from this Prima Gadim, we have the following Hagdara. And this part Rav Nevet and Sal likes, Halacha L'maisa, as we're going to develop today. And that is that he says, and by the way, years ago I spoke in Rav Cohen's 12th grade shiur, as I point that Moreinu v'Rabbeinu Rav Shechter has something similar like this he saw from Rav Nevensal in a different context in one of his svarim. And I'll explain. And that is, Rav Nevensal says that you see from this din of Zeis and Vanoven that the Isser of Schita is Yitziras Hamashke. In other words, it's not a question of whether it's Urchayu Bahachi or not, but rather it's a question of whether there is a Yitziras Hamashke. Yes.
How do you do that for you?
The point is that the only fruit, Shemen and Yayin, are one of the Shiva Hamashkin. They're the only two of the seven Mashkim come from fruits. And it's not a coincidence, points out the Prima Gadim, that those are the Isurei Daraisa Schita. Why are they the Isurei Daraisa Schita? The reason why they're the Isurei Daraisa Schita is because the Torah gives it Chashivas as a Mashke. Everything else doesn't have the Chashivas of a Mashke. What's that?
Date honey? Doesn't
that
come from dates?
But we don't, in those days, they probably didn't even squeeze it at all. So then it wouldn't be called Yitziras Hamashke. That would be, I think, the answer. Yeah?
According to some halach, oranges would be mutter.
So it would be only Durabana, not Doraisa. Oranges will still be Aser, but it will be Aser midrabana, not Minator, according to this mahalach. Now, there's the shortest Shulchan Aruch, I think, in Hilchos Shabbos. You guys did Hilchos Shabbos last year. Three-word Shulchan Aruch. So shortest sif in Shulchan Aruch is in Shimon Shin Chaf Sif Zayin. Mutter Lischot Lemons. It's permissible to squeeze lemons. So this is one of those cases. The shortest Shulchan Aruch, the most straightforward Shulchan Aruch, is actually very, very complicated. Because why should it be mutter to squeeze lemons? What did we just get through saying? That oranges are going to be Aser Midrabanan. So it's true that maybe lemons in those days, they would eat them and they would squeeze them. Today they're generally squeezed, I think. But you're putting salads and so on. But why would it be mutter? So the Mishnah Berurah gives two reasons why it would be permissible to squeeze lemons. The Mishnah Berurah says, quote, it is all from the Beis Yosef, actually. So the question is, why is it at least not an Isser Durabana? So says the Mishnah Berurah, the only time it's going to be an Isser Durabana is to squeeze oranges when you drink the orange juice itself. But if the derech is to drink it with other fruits, so then in such a case, it's going to be mutter. So the question is, what's the pshat? So it could be that why would it make a difference whether derech is to drink? In other words, lemons are never drunk straight. Lemon juice is added to make lemonade. You mix it with sugar, you mix it with other things. But what's the significance over here of the fact that it's added with other things? But if we say the vart is that you need a yitziras hamashka, so the fact that that this mashke doesn't have chashivas by itself, so that might be a part of what the Mishnah Berurah is saying. Inami de lo mitzar el kishesof the meimav levad v'achtach marvin alsof. Aval imaminig lischol letoch meimav letoch mashke acher litin bo shari. Then he says they didn't even squeeze the lemons into itself. They would squeeze the lemons into water. So the point is that according to both of those pshatim, what you have is you don't have a full unique yitziras hamashke. That the lemon juice is not a full unique yitziras hamashke. Rav Nevensal Shlita points out that this might be behind the machlokis rishonim that's brought down in the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Shin Chaf Sif Zayin, the next Sif. And that is a very, very important halachat slita. Let's start with mehakal alakavid. Let's start with that which is straightforward and then go to that which is more complicated. Halach lamaisa, the Gemara tells us, you're allowed to squeeze a fruit. Let's say lemons. That today we paskin lemons are asur midrabbanan because lemons are sometimes squeezed, not just into a drink. Lemons are squeezed and used by themselves. So lemons, halach lemais, are asur midrabbanan. But nevertheless, lemons you're allowed to squeeze onto fish. Why are you allowed to, Gemara says, why are you allowed to squeeze onto fish? So Gemara uses a very, very beautiful term in the beginning in Perek HaChavis, in about Daf Kuf Mem Aleph or so. The Gemara says as follows. The Gemara says that mashka habola ochel ka ochel dami, that if you squeeze juice into an ochel, it's considered ochel. Some of the Rishonim use the expression uchla de ifras. It's as if you separated ochel and put it into ochel. What the Gemara means is as follows. The Gemara is saying that when you take a lemon, you squeeze the juice, and the juice comes into the fish, really what you're doing is you never had, again, Rav Nevin Sal uses the term, you never had a Yetziras HaMashke. You never created a mashke. You took lemon, and you put it into fish. It's true, there was a moment of time that, and when it was in the airspace, it was a mashke, but that's not a significant amount of time to be considered a Yetziras HaMashke. So there's a term that the Rishonim use in different contexts, Uchla De'ifras, you just separated from the ochel, but essentially you never had this Yetziras HaMashke. Now it happens to be that there are Rishonim who disagree about this issue. There are Rishonim that say that the Gemara was not talking about a case of where a person is squeezing zeisim v'anavim into food. And the Ramah says, according to Rabbeinu Chananel, hasochet eshkol kedera nami aser. Squeezing into a kedera is also going to be aser. That according to Rabbeinu Chananel, one is not allowed to squeeze it. What's that nekudas hamachlokis? So Meir Yivir Rabbi Rav Nevinzal suggests that the nekudas hamachlokis is as follows. What's the iser of dash? Is the iser of dash a maisa hafrada? Is it the act of separating? So then in such a case, the person did a maisa hafrada. He separated. But at the end of the day, there was no yitziras hamashka. No one's going to say that there was a yitziras hamashka. So since there wasn't a yitziras hamashka, so the Rishonim that we paskin like, who say that you're allowed to squeeze inside, they hold that the yisr is going to be the yitziras hamashka. And that fits in beautifully with what we saw from the Prima Gadim, that the Isra of Shechita is going to be Yetziras HaMashke. So I mentioned that Moreinu Rav Shechter and Rav Nevinzal both have the same Chiddush. Where do they have the same Chiddush? So Rav Shechter Shlita wasn't talking about this, but this case, but let me start with the following case that Rav Nevinzal discussed, and Rav Tani pointed out to me that Rav Shechter has this Yesod, observes this Yisod also in Hilchos Yom HaKippurim, which Rav Nevinzal used as a raya as well. And that is the following halacha. We said that it's prohibited to squeeze lemons, midrabbanan, today, because there are times that lemons are even enjoyed, lemon juice is enjoyed separately. Once upon a time, they only squeezed lemons into water, according to one opinion in the Beis Yosef. And so therefore, squeezing lemons then was going to be, in those days, was mutter. Today, they squeeze lemons by itself. V'haraya, there's a lemon juice, a natural lemon juice. So natural lemon juice exists. So then, in such a case, squeezing lemons is not going to be daraisa, it's not zeisim v'anavim, maybe it's not even orchayu bahachi. There are some people who eat lemons straight, but at the end of the day, lemons are only going to be an iser d'rabbanan. But it is going to be an iser d'rabbanan. So what would be the following halacha? Are you allowed to squeeze lemons into sugar and then put it into tea? The halacha is that everybody agrees that even though you're allowed to squeeze lemon into fish, but nevertheless, even though lemon is allowed to be into fish, you're not allowed to squeeze lemon into water. You're not allowed to squeeze lemon into water. So halacha l'maisa, You're not allowed to squeeze lemon into tea. That's halacha l'maisa. But what happens if you want the following patent? What you want to do, this is all spelled out. What I just said about squeezing into water, this is spelled out, if you need the maramakom, in the Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Chaf Beis, that you're not allowed to squeeze into water. But what happens if you do the following thing? You squeeze it into sugar, and then you put the sugar into the water. So the Mishnah Berurah is beferish in that Sif Katan, in Sif Katan Chaf Beis, the Mishnah Berurah says, that's mutter, you're allowed to do it. So, fine, it's mutter. Why? What's the svara? Mishnah Berurah's svara is that it's going into ochel. If it's going into ochel, it's mutter. So there's a Chazon Ish. I don't have, they have Mishnah Berurah with the Chazon Ish's Hasagos in the back. Oh, I do have it. So I can even tell you where this, if they quote this Chazon Ish, without, I didn't have time, running, talking to potential Brus guys. Amir Tashem, one day I'll get to learn with you in Eretz Yisrael. So I didn't even have a chance to pull off the Chazon Ish off the shelf. But the Chazon Ish, they have this? Yes, they have the Chazon Ish. Simin Nun Vav Sif Katan Zayin. Chazon Ish and Simin Nun Vav Sif Katan Zayin says, disagrees with the Mishnah Berurah. In Bnei Brak, they don't do this. Reb Chaim Kanievsky didn't do this. I could almost guarantee, without knowing, that Reb Chaim Kanievsky Zatzal did not squeeze lemons into sugar, because the Chazon Ish says it's wrong. He says, this is a joke. He says, what's going on? The person wants to put the lemon into the tea. So you do a harama, you put it into the sugar, and then you're going to put it into the tea? Come on, at the end of the day, what's the heter? The heter is what we said, uchla de ifras. This is not called uchla de ifras. This is that you're putting it you want to put it into the tea. So you in such a case, it's going to be us. That's what the Chazon Ish writes. So Meir V'Rabbi, Rav Neman Sal Shlita, says the following. He says, but if we understand, like everything we said above, it's kafdor v'ferach. Because he says, what's the halacha in Yom HaKippurim? If somebody ate sugar on Yom Kippur, and you need to measure what is the shear of sugar that he ate. So the halacha is that when it comes to Yom HaKippurim, the shear of an Isra Yom HaKippurim Achila is a kosevis, is the size of a date, and for liquids, it's melo lugmav. What happens if you have... This is where Rav Cohen Shlita told me that Rav Schechter uses this in other examples as well. What happens if you have sugar that had its size had been added because a person squeezed lemon into the sugar? In other words, the shear of the sugar was less than a kosevis, but you squeezed lemon juice onto it, and it entered the state of a kosevis. So what would the halacha be when it comes to the Isra Achila? So the answer is, that is an Isra Achila. Because what's this? This is the case of Dag in Tzir. That the halacha is that for Yom HaKippurim, the Tzir, what's the best way to describe this? The Tzir?
Brine.
The brine, excellent. I was going to say, Baruch Hashem, I've been in Israel too long, I wouldn't have used the appropriate word. Brine is the correct word. The brine of the fish is considered part of the fish itself, even though it's a mashke, even though it's a mashke. So too, if even though there was lemon juice that was added to the sugar, nevertheless, it's defined, the ikar, if you will, defines the entire taruvus. So too over here, when it comes to the sugar now is the lemon juice becomes part of the sugar. So what do you see? Rav Schechter uses this in other examples of ikar and tafel, and defining things as an ochel or defining things as a mashke. So what do we see? We see that when it comes to squeezing the lemon into the sugar, the sugar is defined as an ochel. So if you see it's defined as an ochel, ein chanami, the Chazon Ish is right. It was arama. But there's no problem that it was arama. Why? Because what's the isser in regards to schita? The isser of schita is yitziras hamashke. And what happens when you squeeze it onto the sugar? It's not a yitziras hamashke. What's the raya? The raya is hilchos Yom HaKippurim. And this is the defense, my Rabbi Rav Neman Sal says to the Mishnah Brura. Okay, so we learned a few halacha l'maisa points in these 20 minutes as well, and maybe a new Havana on the Isser of Schita. And according to the way Rav Neman Sal presents it, this is a big machlokas Rishonim. That, and by the way, there are, the Mishnah Berurah does mention that there are Achronim who are choshesh to Shita Rabbeinu Chananel. the Shita Rebbe Yochanan, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't paskin like, who says that you're not even supposed to squeeze onto fish. There are machmir, and the Igle Tal actually paskins like that day. What's that? Again, to review, what's the Nekudas HaMachlokas? What's the Yisr of Dash? Is the Yisr of Dash Yitziras HaMashke, or is the Yisr of Dash going to be the Maisa HaFrada? There's a lot more about to say about this, but you know, I was told to do it for 20 minutes. So. Any thoughts, questions before we go on to the next topic? Okay. Rav Cohn asked me to share with you an idea about I forgot the terms he used, but hashkafa and the development of halacha, or hashkafa of the chashivus of Talmud Torah and halacha bi'iyun. So Nefesh HaChaim has two very, very, very important points in Shar Dalid, in Perek Beis, and as well as in Perek Yud, that talk about Yesodos that I think might be very, very helpful in terms of understanding what's happening when we learn halacha in general, and particularly halacha bi'iyun. Here are the two disparate points, two, at first glance, unrelated points. And if you're going to be zocha, to be lon ba'omka shel Torah for the rest of your life, you must understand Nefesh HaChaim Shar Dalet. One of the biggest tragedies that I find in the Torah world is you have, Baruch Hashem, I think in the world of yeshivas, Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan, you have this less in places, in Hezder yeshivas like Karen Biavne, and Shalvim, and Hakotel, you have this problem less, but I think it does exist. Certainly, in the yeshiva that Rav Cohn and I both started in Tar Vadas, and in the more of the yeshivisha world, I think this problem exists a little bit more. And that is that you can have young men who've been sitting and learning Torah for a long time and learning B'iyun and really not be able to answer the question of why they learn the way they learn. In fact, when I go into Reshit for a couple hours a week, I do this with the guys. I ask them, the yeshiva curriculum really doesn't make any sense. I want them to understand, if they're starting to learn Gemara B'iyun, I want them to understand, why are they doing this? And the tragedy is that there are people, there are boys who don't, have never really been explained, and eventually it leads, I think, later on in their 20s and 30s to a real crisis of Talmud Torah. Our curriculum at first glance doesn't seem to make any sense, because if Talmud Torah is about educating ourselves in the breadth of Torah, then there's a much better way to learn than the way people learn B'iyun. Now, I'm not talking, when I say Iyun, I'm not talking about any particular derech in Iyun. Whether we're talking about Chacham Avadi Yosef Zatzal or the derech of Reb Chaim Zatzal of Brisk, those drachim are very, very different. But the Tzad HaShava, what they all had in common is that they learned B'iyun. And the question is why? Why learn B'iyun? We should have a different curriculum. In our curriculum, what we should do is have the guys learn through Shas quickly. And even guys who didn't learn when they were younger. And learn Halach Lamaisa. Halach Lamaisa is also very important. What's the obsession of trying to explain every nuance, particularly if it's not Halach Lamaisa? If Talmud Torah is about learning God's moral code in order to know how to be a good practicing Jew, then there's a much better way to go about it than the way that we do. And I think the answer to that, to those questions, lie in two pieces in the Nefesh HaChaim. It's already late. And what time are we supposed to stop? 6:15? Okay, so I'll start with one piece of Nefesh HaChaim, and if I have And if I have time to get to the other one, then I'll be neder get to the other one as well. Nevi'im Chaim writes something very fascinating when he extols the value of Talmud Torah. He quotes a medrash that David HaMelech, after he completed the writing of Tehillim, in Shar Dal Perek Beis, he quotes the medrash that says, this is a medrash in Shochar Tov, I'll read you the words of Nefesh HaChaim. He says, "Inin esek haTorah shma haEmes bar ki lishma ein perusho dveikus." We're going to need to understand what that means. That the meaning of lishma is not dveikus. Kemosh Sovrim Atarova, although most people think that that's what it means. Sharei Amru Chazal, because Chazal say that when David HaMelech Medrash Shochar Tov, that when he finished Tehillim, he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sha'oisek B'Tehillim Yechashev Etzlo Yisbar Ki'ilu Ha'yoisek B'Nigon Va'olos. He asked that his involvement in the writing of Tehillim should be dear to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as if someone who involves himself learning Taharas. Asks the Nefesh HaChaim, V'im nomar shlishma perusha dveikus dafka. If we're going to say that the meaning, definition of lishma is going to be dveikus, V'rak bazet toli kol inyin ikar esek haTorah, haloi ein dveikus yoser nifla me'amiras tilim karoi kol hayom. He says there's no greater expression of dveikus than tilim. By the way, let's just stop. What is the most popular book in the history of mankind that was not written directly by God? In other words, what is the most popular book behind the Chamishah of Shaitorah in the history of mankind? It's Tehillim. It's the most popular book in the history of mankind. David HaMelech has a schus that he wrote the most powerful piece of poetry, the most powerful work of poetry in the history of mankind. And I'm not only talking about from the perspective of Judaism, from the perspective of the history of the Western world. I can't tell you what's going on in China, but the history, lahavdil, of the, and that includes all the major world religions today. Most popular book in history. Most spiritual book in history. We're not talking, yeah. So the most powerful spiritual work done by man, obviously Al Yidei Ruach HaKodesh, is Tehillim. And David HaMelech says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, make my time involved in Tehillim, consider it as if that I was Oseik B'Taharos. Reb Chaim Volozhiner goes on, and he says, and who says HaKadosh Baruch Hu was maskim even to his request? Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't consider it as chashuv, as Nigon V'Olos. So Nefesh HaChaim stops right here. And he says, you see from here that Torah is above the Vedas. So, Rabosa, what we need to do, Taka, this takes longer than 15 minutes, but let's start. What we need to do is define what does Reb Chaim Volozhiner mean when he says Torah, and what does Reb Chaim Volozhiner mean when he says Dveikus? What does he mean when he's talking about Tehillim as being Dveikus, and what does he mean that Torah is higher than Dveikus? If anything, Dveikus should be the highest. Uvo Sidbak, Sefer Devarim, is the culmination of Torah. By the way, Dveikus only appears in Sefer Devarim quite a few times, but doesn't appear in the first four of Chamishah Chumshei Torah. Somehow, the ultimate, the culmination of Torah, talks about being Dveik HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what does Nefesh HaChaim mean that there's something higher, and that David HaMelech is Tehillim. Tehillim is Dveikus, yet Torah is higher than that. Okay, let me try to get this in by 6:15. Here's the other Nefesh HaChaim. Nefesh HaChaim in Prakim Tes Yud and Yud Aleph. And Rabosa, you have to know this. Nefesh HaChaim in Prakim Tes Yud Yud Aleph speaks about that the significance of Torah is that Torah is inseparable from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he quotes a Zohar, Yisrael v'oraisa v'kudsha b'richu chadhu. And Nefesh HaChaim is ma'arich on this. And he says the following. Again, Moreno Rav Shechter, Shlita, when he talks about the chashivas of Talmud Torah, makes reference to this, Nefesh HaChaim. He says that Yisrael v'Araisa v'Kutsha Brichu, leaving aside now the Yisrael piece, the Araisa and Kutsha Brichu mean the following. How could a person know and connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is entirely ethereal and any Ein lo guf ve'ein lo dmus haguf, and any scientific definition of God is by definition dangerous, and at worst is avodah zara, will lead a person to avodah zara. And Chazal are bothered by that question. Chazal are bothered by what does it mean to be davik to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Reb Chaim Volozhiner's explanation of Torah v'Oraisa and Kutsha Brichu Chadu is the following. There is no way man could in any way fathom God except in one particular way. And that is the only way we could relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is very, very important. The will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only way we can fathom HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in fact, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants is us to bring godliness into the world, and that is to bring God's will into the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is his Torah because there's no other expression that man could comprehend of God outside the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's our only comprehension of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Torah is the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, the way we become one, Yisrael v'Araisa Kutsha Brichu, is if we become one with the will of Kutsha Brichu. So far so good? Yisrael v'Araisa Kutsha Brichu Chadu. That is a basic level of understanding that Reb Chaim Volozhiner brings out in Shaar Dalet, Prokim Tes Yud Yud Aleph. Okay. Now Rabosai. Here's a very important mashal. And with this mashal, we'll be able to understand what Reb Chaim Volozhiner, I think, means in Shaar Dalet Perek Beis. And I think this could help us really, really understand what we're doing in Talmud Torah, the Omek of Talmud Torah, according to Nefesh HaChaim. And this, again, is just scratching the surface. Doing this in 20 minutes is not the whole thing, but maybe we could get a taste of a derech. Here's a mashal. You have two guys. They learned in yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. They learned by a Rebbe, who was a fantastic Rebbe in their second year in yeshiva. They go back to America. They come to one of the great yeshivas in the United States of America. My biased shita is that the two greatest yeshivas in the history of Torah in America is Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan Beis Medrash Gavoah. Two greatest yeshivas. My brother and I disagree what comes in, what gets number one, what gets number two. But there's no question that the impact of our yeshiva and Rabbi Aaron Zatzal's yeshiva on Torah in America is mind-boggling. And he comes back to Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan, and both these talmidim continue to grow. One of the talmidim finds a way to call their Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael, who they had a very special Rebbe that they both had that they both grew from. And he keeps in touch with his Rebbe. When he gets engaged, he asks his Rebbe questions, and they keep in touch. When he gets engaged, he's able to fly his Rebbe, and this is Reuven, he's able to fly his Rebbe into Chasana. Not only after the Rebbe comes for the wedding, after he has his first child, he calls his Rebbe, he asks his Rebbe questions about where to send his kids to school. 15 years later, somehow, most of us are not successful in doing this. Most Rabbeim are not successful. Most Talmidim are not successful. Usually it's the Rabbeim's fault, not the Talmidim's fault. Not because Rabbeim are bad, but just it's very hard to maintain a kesher. 15 years later, he still has a special kesher with his Rebbe, and he's still in touch with his Rebbe. That's Reuven. Shimon learned by the Rebbe, and he didn't call the Rebbe during that time. Either he was busy with his college classes, or he got close with other Rebbeim in yeshiva. And when he gets engaged, he calls his Rebbe, he sends him an email, the Rebbe wishes him a mazel tov. Could be he can't afford to fly him in for his wedding. And he doesn't call the Rebbe after his first child. And life moves on. He has other Rebbe. But if you ask the guys who was in that, were in that Shana Bet Shir of 20 guys, you ask him who internalized and lived the ideals of that Shana Bet Rebbe, they would say Shimon, not Reuven. Who's closer to the Shana Bet Ram? Reuven or Shimon? Reuven is Davik to that Rebbe. He's attached. He's maintained. Reuven has glued himself to that Rebbe, and that's an amazing, amazing accomplishment. But on a certain level, Shimon has internalized those Rebbe's ideals to the point that he's become everything that the essence of what that Rebbe was. Let's say he does it really, really well. Who's closer? Well, in one way, Reuven is closer. Reuven exists. He's a Gavra, and he's Davik to a great Gavra, his Rebbe. Shimon, on a certain level, has become his Rebbe. Both of those are a beautiful relationship. And I'm not choosing Shimon over Reuven, but I'm just pointing out that in many ways, Shimon has become one with his Rebbe. Lahavdil elef alfei avdalos. That's the difference between Dveikus, according to Reb Chaim V'lajner, and Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah is about working to become that the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the way which we attach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We become one with Kudsha Brichu. It becomes inseparable. Dveikus is, Tehillim is, that a person should feel close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That a person feels spirituality in his life. He feels that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is nearby, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is close to him, and he is close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I believe, maybe unlike maybe some Kalta Litvaks, that's also my, I have a very strong Hasidish side, I believe that even, that Reb Chaim V'lajner, I believe he wasn't a Kalta Litvak, that Reb Chaim V'lajner believes that there's a tremendous value in Dveikus. And Reb Chaim V'lajner believes in the value of a tish. And he believes in the value of music in Avodas Hashem. He believes you should sing during davening. And he believes that there is a value of Dveikus. But Reb Chaim V'lajner is saying that through Talmud Torah and a desire to search for emes and to search for the ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one becomes one with Kudsha Brich Hu. And that was what Reb Chaim V'lajner wrote in Shar Dalet, Prokim, Ches, Tes, Yud, and Yud Aleph. And that's what Reb Chaim V'lajner means when Reb Chaim V'lajner describes and says that David HaMelech asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want that this Dveikus be so magical that I become one with you. But normally, what is Dveikus? Dveikus is not the same thing as Talmud Torah. Because what is Dveikus? Generally, what is Dveikus? Think about what the word Dveik means. Dveik means to be attached. To be attached. You have two things. What's attached? Let's take a look and see something that's attached over here. So over here on the Sefer, I have this, what do they call these stick? What do they call them? The sticky things? Sticky notes? Whatever they're called. So this is attached. This one has an identity. It has its singular identity. The sticky note has its singular identity. And the page has its singular identity. And they become attached. They don't become one. A person who learns Torah becomes one with Kudsha Brich Hu. That's the oimik of Yisrael v'raisa Kudsha Brich Hu chadu. He becomes one with the Ratzon Hashem. The goal of Talmud Torah is a person becomes not closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but a person becomes one with Kudsha Brich Hu. In contrast to Dveikus is to feel the closest and to become attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those are two very, very different things. Again, I think Reb Chaim V'lajner believes that both are extremely valuable. David HaMelech thought they were extremely valuable. So let's go now back to what Talmud Torah is about. What's Talmud Torah? Is Talmud Torah about knowing how you're supposed to act in this world? That's what Talmud Torah is about. Talmud Torah is when a person becomes more and more becomes closer and closer to Emes, to the point that the Emes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes one with him. It's not about, Talmud Torah is not about a person learning in order to know what to do, but it's the desire to search for Emes to the point that the Emes becomes so clear that he even has Halacha L'maisa as well. Lilmod Amanas Lasos means, not Lilmod Amanas Lasos simply to know what to do, Halacha L'maisa. Lilmod Amanas Lasos is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah is so clear that he even has the clarity of the Emes to the point that he has clarity what to do as well. Notice he doesn't only know the Gemara, he knows the Tosis, and he knows the Shulchan Aruch, v'chulei v'chulei. And that's why our curriculum is the way that it is. Our curriculum is not simply a pragmatic curriculum, because if it's a pragmatic curriculum, then it misses the essence of what Talmud Torah is about. Talmud Torah is about becoming one with the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, without a search for Emes, without taking every word of Rashi seriously, without taking every word of Tosla seriously, without taking every word of Rambam seriously. So then ultimately, the person is not becoming one with the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not simply the Halach Lemaisa. The Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also the why Rashi used that word. Why did Rashi use that word? So I hope this is helpful just for Damash Atashiv. I hope it's helpful for that. I hope it's also an inspiration of what Torah is about. Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapiro said that this is this explains the two different the progression of Yom HaKippurim. It's already into Marchej, but maybe just to hold on a little bit of the Kedusha of Yom HaKippurim and Sukkot. And with this, I conclude. I know it's already 6:15. If anybody has to go somewhere, please. I don't want to hold anybody extra time. Sometimes I get excited about an idea. I tend to go a little bit over. I apologize. Yom HaKippurim is characterized as Lefnei Hashem Titaru. By the way, does everybody here know who Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapiro? Not Rav Moshe Shapiro Zatzal, Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapiro. Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapiro was one of the closest Talmidim of the Brisker Rav. He has beautiful, beautiful Svarim called Kuntras HaBiurim and Shari Shmuas. And he has two Svarim in Agada called Zahav Mishva. Those are the names of his Svarim. In the Sefer, Zahav Mishva, he points out the following development from Yom HaKippurim through Sukkot. He says, Yom HaKippurim starts off Lufnei Hashem Titaru. We're like Malachim in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In Sukkot, we're supposed to take that perspective of Malachim. We also have another Lufnei Hashem. We have Usmachtim Lufnei Hashem Elokechem. You rejoice with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's the difference that by Sukkot you have Simcha, Lufnei Hashem Titaru? Because Simcha is the ability to take that Lufnei Hashem Titaru and to actualize into this world. If you will, to using the categories we had before, it's the Halacha L'maisa of taking simcha is the ability to take those ideals of the Gemara and turn it into halacha l'maisa, into this world. The way in which a person acts to be davek to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. That's Sukkot. And what happens? You take the Lefnei Hashem being like a malach of Yom HaKippurim and you turn it into the eating and drinking, sleeping, toch kanfei hashchina. It's no longer being a malach lefnei Hashem, it's simcha. I just add to what Ramesh Shmuel said, the Maharal's definition on the pasuk called sasam called simcha, and I believe in Tiferes Yisrael, the Maharal writes that simcha is shlemus. So simcha is not dancing upon a na nachvan. That's not simcha. Simcha, says the Maharal, is shlemus. He says it connects it to kol sasam, kol simcha, kol chasam, kol kala. He says simcha is when a person is shalem, that all of his parts of his life are consistent. That even when he eats and he drinks, he's toch kanfei hashchina. You need Yom HaKippurim first, then you have that. What comes next? Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says in Shmini Atzeres, kosher alai predaschem. In Svar Makdoshim, they describe that Shmini Atzeres is yichud with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're alone with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But there's one more stage that you have, And here in Chutz La'aretz, you do it. It's one of the only things they do better in Chutz La'aretz than in Eretz Yisrael. You have one more stage. That is Simchas Torah. Simchas Torah, the Medrash describes Nagila v'nismacha bach, to rejoice b'chaf beis osir shebet Torah. Is there anything higher than Yichud with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So at first glance, we would say no. Many learn from the Sfarim HaKadoshim that the ultimate is Shmini Atzeres, is Yichud. No longer do you need any mitzvot. There's no mitzvot on Shmini Atzeres. It's just me and you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. Says Ramay Shmuel Shapiro, there's actually a higher Madrega than Yichud. What's a higher Madrega than Yichud? What is Yichud? Yichud is alone with Kudsha Brichu. But there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachal, and then there's you. But what happens when you become HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence becomes part of you. That's Torah. It's no longer Dveikus, that you're Dveik to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you become inseparable. And that's Yisrael V'Raisa V'Kudsha Brichu. That's Nagila V'Nismecha Bach, to rejoice. Bach says Chazal B'Chaf Be'ez Oish Yisha B'Teira. To rejoice that the Torah is Mamish becomes part of you. No longer simply HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being a separate entity that you're Dovik to, but you become one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mirtz Hashem, through your Iyun HaTorah, that of course requires Halacha L'Maisa as well, because that's part of Libun HaTorah, that's part of understanding Torah. It's part about, that's what we saw, like in the Rabbeinu Chananel. If you understand Rabbeinu Chananel, then you'll be able to paskin the Shiloh. Who do we paskin like? That's the sugar and the lemon, and so on and so forth. But the more and more one becomes one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more and more you're able to paskin the Shiloh as well. Mirtz Hashem, that we should be zocha, that Iyun HaTorah, that we become one with Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and be able to, most people say, to be Davik to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But not only Davik to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even more, that we become one with Kudsha Brichu, and we should ultimately become connected to it, the Neshama, the Chelek Eloka Mimal, through our Amelus, the Torah. May you continue to go Mechayel Echayel. I get tremendous chizuk seeing that you're doing this in these years. I always say that it was only after I finished college that I really, really hit my stride in learning in yeshiva. And Baruch Hashem, I see you're already hitting your stride even before. And so Kal V'Chomer, you could go so much further.